والنار والميزان والصراط او كفر بالقدر خيره وشره فانه يكون كافرا ويكون خارجا من ملة الاسلام، ولا يصح الايمان حتى يؤمن بهذه الاركان الستة. ودليل ذلك دليل الكفر قول الله سبحانه وتعالى: ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله، فدخل فيه الإيمان كله. من يكفر بأي شيء من الإيمان بالله أو بملائكته أو بكتبه أو برسله أو باليوم الآخر أو بالقدر خيره وشره فهذا لا يقبل الله منه صرفا ولا عدلا، لا يقبل الله منه حسنة حتى يؤمن بهذه الأركان. وحديثنا في هذا الدرس من الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة ليس عن أركان الإيمان كلها، وإنما عن الركن الأخير من أركان الإيمان، ألا وهو الإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره، وهو موضوع مهم جدا، بل هو غاية في الأهمية، إذ هو ركن من أركان الإيمان كما سبق بيانه، والكفر به كفر بالإيمان وكفر بالله سبحانه وخروج عن ملة الإسلام وإحباط للأعمال. وكذلك هذه المسألة من المسائل التي ضل فيها كثير من الطوائف التي خاضت في هذا الباب، في باب القدر، بغير علم، وبالتالي قالوا على الله سبحانه ما لا يعلمون. القدر سر من أسرار الله تعالى، القدر سر من أسرار الله تعالى، يجب القبول والتسليم والإيمان به، علمنا حكمة الله أو لم نعلم. فوجب على المسلم أن يسلم، أن يؤمن بأن الأقدار كلها من الله، أن جميع ما يحصل في هذا الكون هو بقدر الله سبحانه وتعالى، وهو بمشيئة الله سبحانه وتعالى. لا يحصل شيء في كون الله إلا بإذنه ومشيئته، لا يحصل شيء في هذا الكون دون إذن من الله ودون مشيئة من الله أبدا. فلا يحصل شيء في كون الله إلا بإذن الله سبحانه، وسيأتي إن شاء الله تفصيل ذلك فيما يأتي من الكلام.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعض، الشيخ حفظه الله إخواني وأخواتي، again I say right now we're about to do another one of the lessons, the important lessons from the lessons that concern the general Muslim people, general Muslim folk from the Ummah. And we're going to deal with the ma'rifa of the usulul iman, or coming to learn and to know about, to gain knowledge about the fundamentals of al-iman, the fundamentals of faith. The Shaykh said the fundamentals of faith are six. They are six. And they are having belief in Allah, having belief in the angels, having belief in the books of Allah, having belief in the messengers of Allah, and having belief in the last day. And lastly, number six, believing in the divine decree, the predestination. The Shaykh said it is an absolute obligation upon every Muslim to have iman in these six pillars, the pillars of al-iman. And whoever disbelieves in one of them, or any of them, or any aspect of one of them, then he is a kafir, and he is outside of the realm and the fold of al-Islam. Sheikh, he went on to say, any individual who disbelieves in Allah or a person who disbelieves in the angels, or in one of the angels, or he believes in the prophets and messengers, or one of, or a group of the prophets and the messengers, person who disbelieves in the last day, or some aspect of the last day, like a person who disbelieves in the paradise and what has been prepared for the believers therein, or he disbelieves in the fire or the punishment of the fire, or he disbelieves in the scales that will be erected to weigh the people in their deeds on the day of judgment. If he disbelieves in any of those things, he is a non-Muslim. Also, the qadr, the divine decree. If someone disbelieves in this concept of the divine decree, then know that he is outside of the fold and outside of the realm of al-Islam. And an individual's faith, his complete faith, will not be sahih, it will not be correct, until he has complete and total iman or faith in all aspects of these six pillars of al-iman. And the dalil on his disbelief, the fact that if he disbelieves in these six arkan, or in an aspect of these six arkan, one of the clear dalils that establish his kufr is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever disbelieves in Allah, then his deeds will be rendered null and void. Whoever has kufr, billah, whoever disbelieves in iman, his actions will be rendered null and void. So the Shaykh said that this ayat is a dalil of his kufr, because the word here, iman, it constitutes all of those issues that have been mentioned already. So if he disbelieves in any aspect of al-iman, any aspect, then that individual is a non-Muslim. He went on to say, if the individual disbelieves in Allah, he disbelieves in the malaika, the angels of Allah, or the books of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept from him a sarf, nor would he accept from him an adl. He won't accept from him what he did from the obligatory acts, nor what he did from the acts which are from the opposite of the obligatory acts. He said he will not have his hasana, any of his good deeds, accepted until he believes totally and absolutely in the iman, as we have mentioned. The Shaykh said today's speech to you in this class that is important for the general folk amongst the Muslims is that he's not going to talk about all of the arkan of al-iman, all of the pillars of al-iman. He's not going to do that. But he will, inshallah, address the issue of the last pillar, and that is the iman in the qadr. Iman, having faith in the predestination, the good of it and the bad of it. This issue is an extremely important issue. And whoever leaves any part of it, then, and anyone who leaves any part of it, he's going to, as the Sheikh said, be an individual who is outside of the fold of al-Islam. And that's because leaving off this belief in predestination, what it does is, it's leaving off an aspect of iman. And it is disbelief in Allah. And it is disbelief in what Allah has prepared for the believers and the non-Muslims, or as it relates to the fire, as it relates to the Jannah. Sheikh, he went on to say, as it relates to the predestination as an issue and a topic of discussion, many groups from amongst the people, they have made and they have fallen into grave errors due to their misunderstanding and due to the fact that they were upon conjecture and they had no knowledge whatsoever. Because of this, they said about Allah and about the religion of Allah that which they had no knowledge of. It should be understood that the issue of the qadr, the predestination, this issue is a secret from the secret of Allah. It is a sir, a secret from the secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we as Muslims, we accept every aspect of it, the detailed aspects of it, and what is not detailed. And we totally, absolutely submit to what has been given to us by way of knowledge as it relates to these issues. Whether we understand the wisdom behind what happens or whether we don't understand it, we totally, absolutely submit unconditionally. So, ikhwani, the al-aqdar, or the predetermination, the things that Allah has decreed, all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that happens, happens as a result of the qadr. Everything that happens, happens as a result of the mashia of Allah, the will of Allah, and His will alone. Nothing happens as we know it in this life that we live. Nothing happens except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're going to deal with the details of that inshallah in what is to come.
كما سمعتم في أركان الإيمان سمعنا ما قاله نبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لجبريل عليه السلام لما سأله جبريل عليه السلام ما الإيمان؟ قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره، فجعله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه ركنا من أركان الإيمان. ويقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم: إن كل شيء خلقناه بقدر. فكل شيء خلقه الله عز وجل بقدر. الإنسان مخلوق بقدر، السماوات والأرض بقدر، كل ما في السماوات والأرض بقدر، أعمال العباد ما يعمله العباد من الأعمال هو مخلوق وهو بقدر، فكل ذلك داخل في قول الله تعالى: إنا كل شيء خلقناه بقدر. فقدر الله عز وجل يشمل جميع المخلوقات، ويشمل أعمال الإنسان، يشمل أعمال المكلفين، فالصلاة مخلوقة، والزكاة مخلوقة، والصيام مخلوق، أعمال العباد مخلوقة. وبالتالي فإن الإنسان إذا عمل عملا من الأعمال فهو بقدر. الزنا مخلوق، السرقة مخلوقة، الخمر مخلوقة، ففعل شيء من ذلك المعاصي كذلك داخل في خلق الله وهو بقدر. إن كل شيء خلقناه بقدر، فشمل جميع المخلوقات، ودخل فيه أعمال العباد، دخل فيه الطاعات والمعاصي، كل هذه مخلوقة فهي داخلة في قول الله تعالى: إن كل شيء خلقناه بقدر. فالإيمان بهذا القدر خيره وشره ركن من أركان الإيمان، لا يصح الإيمان إلا به.
Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallama, when Jibreel came to him and he asked Rasulullah, what is al-Iman? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to that question by saying, to believe in Allah and to believe in the malaika of Allah, the angels, to believe in the books of Allah, to believe in His messengers, to believe in the last day, and to believe in the final destination, the qadr, the good of it and the evil of it. So if you were to look here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this belief in the qadr a pillar from the six pillars of the qadr in this hadith. As for the hadith or the belief in the qadr as it relates to what has been mentioned in the Quran, there are many proofs, but we will take the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily we have created everything with the qadr, or by the qadr, Allah said. Verily we, meaning Allah, have created everything with or by the qadr. So the human being has been created by the qadr. The heavens and the earth have been created by the qadr. Everything and whatever is inside of the heavens and the earth created by the qadr. In addition to that, the actions that the people do, the actions of the human being is something, and therefore it has been created by the qadr. All of what has been mentioned, heavens and the earth, human beings, what they do, their actions, all of that can be found inside of that ayat, verily we created everything by the qadr, by the decree. So everything that is created and everything that is inside of the creation or part of the creation, even the actions, they are considered to be part of the qadr. The salat is from the qadr. The zakat is from the qadr. Fasting is from the qadr. As a result of that, since everything is created by the qadr, everything, actions, whether they're good or the actions, whether they're not good, like adultery or zina, is from the actions and therefore it's from the qadr. Stealing is also created, it's an action, that's from the qadr. Khamr or intoxicant, also created from the qadr. So the good things that you do, the good things that happen, from the qadr. Also the ma'asi, the disobediences that take place, are also from the actions, and they are from the qadr, and all of that is inside of the ayat. Verily we created everything with or by the qadr. The obediences as well as the disobediences, the ayat is encompassing all of that. So the point of all of this is, it is an obligation and it is necessary for us to have iman, total, absolute faith in this concept of predestination, the good of it and the evil of it, and having faith in it and belief in it is a pillar from the pillars of an iman.
العلم والقدر قرينان. الذي لا يفهم مسألة القدر ادخل إليه من مسألة العلم. فالناس بفطرهم يؤمنون بعلم الله سبحانه أن الله عز وجل يعلم كل شيء، والآيات في ذلك كثيرة، والله بكل شيء عليم، إن الله كان بكل شيء عليما، وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. فالله عز وجل علمه محيط بكل شيء. الزمان داخل في هذا لا محالة، فالله عز وجل علمه محيط بكل مكان، وعلمه محيط بكل زمان. يستوي علمه سبحانه بالماضي والحاضر والمستقبل، فربنا يعلم كل ما جرى، ويعلم ما يجري الآن، ويعلم كل ما سيجري، علمه محيط بكل ذلك. فإذا آمن الإنسان أن الله عز وجل قد أحاط بكل شيء علما، نقول له الآن أنت مؤمن أن الله يعلم ما مضى وما هو حاضر وما هو آت، يعلم الشيء قبل وقوعه؟ يقول نعم. تقول فما المشكلة؟ أنه سبحانه يكتب ذلك عنده، هذا الذي كتبه عنده مما لم يقع بعد هو القدر، فما هي المشكلة عندك؟ إن آمنت بأن الله يعلم كل شيء لابد أن تعلم أنه قدر كل شيء. فما دام الله عز وجل علم ما سيقع في المستقبل، علم من منا سيطيعه، وعلم من منا سيعصيه، علم من منا سيؤمن ومن منا سيكفر، ما المشكلة أنه سبحانه يأمر بكتابة هذا؟ العلم عنده في كتاب. ثم ما يقع من الناس يقع مطابقا لذلك العلم. وهل علم الله عز وجل بما هو آت يعتبر إجبارا للناس على ما يعملون؟ الجواب لا، هذه أعمال العباد ولكن الله علمها قبل وقوعها فكتبها سبحانه وتعالى عنده، فهي عنده في كتاب. وهذا هو القدر، هذا هو القدر. فالله عز وجل عنده فوق العرش أم الكتاب، يمحو الله ما يشاء ويثبت، وعنده أم الكتاب. ففي اللوح المحفوظ عند الله سبحانه وتعالى فوق العرش كتب الله كل شيء. فعندما خلق الله الخلق خلق العرش أولا، ثم استوى سبحانه على العرش، ثم خلق القلم فقال له اكتب، فقال يا رب وما اكتب؟ قال اكتب ما هو كائن الى قيام الساعة، اكتب كل شيء سيقع في هذا الكون قبل ان يخلق الله السماوات والارض. فكتب القلم بامر الله كل ما سيحصل من امور، من خلق للسماوات ومن خلق للأرض ومن خلق للجن والإنس ومن أعمال هؤلاء الجن والإنس ومن سيدخل الجنة ومن سيدخل النار. كتب القلم كل شيء، وما يقع من الناس لا يمكن أن يخالف ما علمه الله سبحانه وتعالى. نعود ونقول العلم والقدر قرينان، الذي لا يفهم مسألة القدر نفهمه بمسألة العلم، والذي يرد على هذا بإنكار العلم يكفر، لأنه إذا قال نقول له هل الله عز وجل يعلم ما سيقع أم لا؟ فإن قال لا، لا يعلم الله الطاعة إلا بعد وقوعها ولا يعلم المعصية إلا بعد وقوعها، فربنا يقول هذا القائد لا يعلم أن الإنسان سيصلي إلا بعد أن يصلي، ولا يعلم أن الإنسان سيزني إلا بعد أن يزني، هذا يكون قد كفر بالله سبحانه، لأنه وصف الله بالجهل. فهؤلاء الذين أنكروا القدر فروا من شيء فوقعوا في أشر منه. أتعرفون لماذا دخل هؤلاء في مسألة القدر؟ دخلوا بزعم أنهم ينزهون الله عن الظلم. قالوا كيف يحاسب الله الناس عن شيء وهو مكتوب عليهم لا يستطيعون إلا أن يفعلوه؟ ربنا عادل وليس بظالم، إذن ربنا ما قدر على الناس شيئا، الناس يفعلون وربنا ما قدر عليهم شيئا. فروا من أن يصفوا الله بالظلم بزعمهم، قالوا إذا كان الله قد كتب عليهم أنهم سيزنون ويكفرون قبل أن يخلقوا فهذا ظلم، والله منزه عن الظلم، إذن ربنا لم يكتب شيئا على أحد ولا يقدر شيئا على الناس، الناس هم الذين يفعلون وهذه أعمالهم هم مسؤولون عنها. وهذا الشق الأخير صحيح، لكن ما صلة هذا بأن الله كتب ولم يكتب؟ فلما قيل لهم طيب أتؤمنون بعلم الله؟ قالوا نؤمن. قيل لهم فالله يعلم يعلم كل شيء، والله بكل شيء عليم، دخل فيه الزمان والمكان، إذا ربنا يعلم الماضي والحاضر والمستقبل، تؤمنون بهذا؟ نؤمن بهذا. طيب الذي سيزني في المستقبل ربنا يعلم أنه سيزني أم لا؟ هنا وقفوا حائرين، لأنهم فروا من وصف الله بالظلم، والآن اكتشفوا أنهم سيضطرون لوصفه بماذا؟ بالجهل. لو قالوا لا يعلم أن فلانا سيزني إلا بعد أن يزني، إذن ربنا لا يحيط بكل شيء علما. بعضهم فعلا وصل إلى هذا أن قال ربنا يعلم كل شيء إلا أعمال العباد، إلا الطاعات والمعاصي، لا يعلمها إلا بعد وقوعها، فلا يعلم الطاعة من المطيع إلا بعد أن تقع من المطيع، ولا يعلم المعصية من العاصي إلا بعد أن يعصي العاصي. ففروا من وصف الله بماذا؟ بالظلم، فوقعوا في وصفه بالجهل، كفروا كفرا عظيما جدا، إذ وصفوا رب السماوات والأرض بأنه لا يعلم كل شيء وأن علمه ناقص سبحانه وتعالى، وهذا هو الكفر. الشاهد بارك الله فيكم، العلم والقدر قرينان. الذي لا يفهم مسألة القدر نفهمه مسألة القدر من جهة مسألة العلم، فمن آمن بعلم الله وجب أن يؤمن بقدر الله، ومن أنكر علم الله أنكر قدر الله، ومن أنكر قدر الله أنكر علم الله. لا تكون مؤمنا حتى تؤمن بأن الله سبحانه وتعالى يعلم كل شيء، وأنه سبحانه قد قدر كل شيء. الذي يعلم كل شيء ما المانع أن يكتب كل شيء؟ سبحانه وتعالى هو الذي قد أحاط بكل شيء علما، وهو الذي قال إنا كل شيء خلقناه بقدر.
The Sheikh Ikhwani said, as it relates to this issue, there is a point, and that point is that the knowledge, العلم, the knowledge of Allah, and the issue of the qadr, they should be understood together or simultaneously. They are together, the knowledge of Allah and the qadr, they are together. The one who doesn't understand the issue of the qadr, and Allah has decreed everything, he has a problem with understanding that. The way he is made to understand that issue is by helping to understand that Allah has knowledge of all things. He has a problem with this whole concept of everything has happened and will happen by the qadr. He has some problem, for whatever reason, with embracing that concept. The way he should be helped to understand the principle and the concept of the qadr is by focusing upon the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the knowledge of Allah and the qadr are qarinan, they are together. The Shaykh said, as it relates to this issue, if you look at it, in actuality, people from their fitra, their natural disposition, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they believe in Allah, and from the natural disposition, whoever believes in Allah, he believes that Allah has knowledge, that Allah has all of the knowledge. Allah ta'ala said, for an example, in some of the ayat of the Quran, and Allah has knowledge about everything. And another ayat, and Allah's knowledge encompasses everything. Sheikh, he went on to say, so the knowledge of Allah, which encompasses everything, and the knowledge of Allah, which extends beyond everything, it includes, everything includes the time, and everything includes the place. This is a necessity. As it relates to Allah's knowledge, His knowledge extends beyond everything. And part of everything is every time and every place. So his knowledge extends beyond every time and every place. So as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, his knowledge extends and encompasses every place and every particular time. And the knowledge of Allah is the same as it relates to time. It's the same. It's the same. The knowledge of Allah as it relates to what happened in the past. And the knowledge of Allah as it relates to what's happening right now. And the knowledge of Allah as it relates to what's going to happen in the future. Detail of what happened in the past. He knows the detail of what's happening right now. And he knows the details of what's going to happen in the future. The people know this from their fitrah if they have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if you ask the individual who believes in Allah, the people have a problem with understanding the qadr. If you ask them, do you believe that Allah has knowledge of everything? Allah knows everything? They're going to say, Na'am, I believe that. The Shaykh said, well, the question that presents itself to that individual who answers yes is, then what's the problem with having faith in the fact that Allah has pre-decreed and pre-ordained everything that is going to happen? The Shaykh said, if a person believes that Allah Ta'ala has knowledge about everything, then he has to believe that the qadr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is also part of that process. So, the knowledge of Allah and the qadr are together. Whoever doesn't understand the qadr and he has a problem with embracing this concept, the way you argue with him, the way you explain to him, the way he's made to understand the problem that he's having is by simply explaining to him, if you believe in the knowledge of Allah, then it necessitates that you accept and embrace this concept. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows who is going to obey him, who is going to disobey him, who is going to believe in him, who is going to disbelieve in him, who is going to enter into the paradise, who is not going to enter into paradise, because the knowledge of all of that is with a book, is with Allah in a book that is written. So the question is it conceivable, do you think that Allah Ta'ala and His knowledge, He forced the people to do the evil things that they do? That Allah, when He wrote the divine decree as to what people are going to do, do you think that Allah forced the people to do these things? Sheikh said, of course not. Of course not. But nonetheless, this knowledge of what people are going to do, they do it as a result of their free will that has been given to them. And the end result of what they're going to do is with Allahu Tabarak wa Ta'ala over His throne. In what the Shaykh referred to as the Ummul Kitab. And then he read the ayat of the Quran that all of the things are with Allah written in the Ummul Kitab. So the Ummul Kitab, the mother of the books, it is the Lawh Mahfuz. It is the preserved and protected parchment. In it, everything is written in detail. What happened, what's happening, what's going to happen. Because that's from the knowledge of Allah. As it relates to what has happened, Allah Ta'ala, He created the creation. As it relates to Him creating the creation, first He created His throne. And then after creating His arush, He rose above the throne in a way that was and is befitting His majesty. After creating the arush, Allah Ta'ala created the pen. And then He told the pen, write. And the pen said, what should I write? Allah said, write everything that is going to be until the hour is established. The Shaykh said, so all of this process took place before the creation of the heavens and the earth. So what was written by the pen at that time is everything. From what was written, the actions of the jinn, the actions of the human beings. Who's going to be in the Jannah? Who's going to be in the hellfire? Who's going to believe? Who's going to disbelieve?
Who's going to be thankful? Who's not going to be thankful? All of that was written by the pen at that time when Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the pen to write. And whatever the people fall into by way of what opposes the deen, whatever the people fall into by way of what opposes the deen or other than that, what's going to happen is that what they do will not contradict or go against what was written by that pen when Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala wrote it. So, the knowledge of Allah, knowledge of the past, present, and the future, the knowledge of Allah and the Qadr, they are together. They are qarinan. If Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala if a person says that Allah Ta'ala does not know what is going to happen, then that person has disbelieved. For example, those people who had a problem with accepting the whole concept of the qadr. Their problem was they were trying to escape something, and in the attempt to escape something, they fell into something that was worse than what they were trying to escape. They were trying to escape the concept and the idea that Allah knew that people were going to disobey Him before they disobeyed Him, which implied that Allah forced them to do that. So that means, and it necessitates, that Allah made them do it, so Allah is oppressive to make them do that, and then He's going to hold them accountable and responsible for that. So they tried to escape from that reality in their mind, that Allah is not oppressive, but Allah is just. Now, in their attempt to escape that problem in their mind, they fell into what was worse than that. And they fell into what? They fell into the crime of describing Allah Azza wa Jalla as being ignorant, jahil, not having knowledge. Because if he doesn't know what's going to happen until it happens, then he's ignorant. He doesn't have knowledge of it. So the first thing of trying to say, Allah is just, that's true. Allah doesn't oppress, that's true. But to deny the qadr with the claim that it is oppressive, so we disbelieve in it, now they fall into what is worse than that. Allah doesn't know what's going to happen until it happens. That means that He's ignorant. So Allah, He knew. And if a person denies this, this is disbelief. The person who makes the salah, he knows it. The person who makes the zina and he's going to fall into zina, Allah, He knows it. And the fact that he knows it does not make him oppressive. So the Shaykh, he went on to say, the effort of those people, it has to be rejected. And if they only understood that whenever a person has a problem with the qadr, this concept of Allah knows what people are going to do before it happens, all you have to do is help them to understand this whole issue of Allah's knowledge. Allah's knowledge extends over everything, every place, and every time. The past, the present, as well as the future. Allah knows who is going to disbelieve in Him, who is going to make zina, and this is not oppression. And besides, what is the relationship, the Shaykh said, what is the relationship in the minds of these people? What is the connection? Allah does not oppress. Allah doesn't oppress. That's a true statement. Allah doesn't oppress. What is the connection between that and the fact that Allah wrote everything? What's the connection? Yes, Allah doesn't oppress, but at the same time, He knows everything that is going to happen. So, we say to those individuals, we say to them, do you believe that Allah knows everything? Do you believe that? The person is going to answer unequivocally and he's going to say, yes, I believe Allah knows everything. Then it should be said to them, you know that Allah knows. When you say He knows everything, that means He knows what happened in the past. And His knowledge of the past is equal to the knowledge He has of right now. He knows everything. And that is equal as the knowledge in the future. You know all of that? The Shaykh said, at this point, the person is going to stop. Because now he's caught in a contradiction as it relates to what he's saying. If Allah knows everything that is in the past, in the present, in the future, if you believe that Allah knows all of that, then you have to be forced to believe that Allah Ta'ala has decreed everything and everything has been decreed. So, with that being the case, everything that happens is with the qadr of Allah. Those people, they are astray. They say, okay, Allah knows everything, but the thing that He doesn't know is He doesn't know if people are going to be religious or irreligious. Will they be obedient or will they fall into ma'asi? They will agree. Yes, okay, Allah knows everything in the past, now, but as it relates in the future, He knows everything except whether or not the person is going to be religious or irreligious. So the Sheikh said, because of this, they have fallen into a description of Allah, that they have described Allah with something that is worse than what they were trying to originally avoid. They were trying to avoid Him being described as being oppressive. So Allah Ta'ala, He knows everything, and His knowledge and the qadr are together. Knowledge.
بالمثال يتضح المقال والأمثلة تعين على الفهم، لكننا كما قلنا في مسألة القدر نسلم المثال فقط يساعدنا على الفهم مما يزيدنا إيمانا، لكن لا تجعل إيمانك موقوفا على المثال، فالأمثلة هي من أجل زيادة البيان، من أجل زيادة التفسير، من أجل زيادة الإيضاح. الآن سنعطي مثالا يفهمه الناس. مجموعة من التلاميذ والطلاب، يدرسهم مجموعة من المدرسين، بعض هؤلاء المدرسين درسوا هؤلاء الطلاب طوال العام، وبعض هؤلاء المدرسين درسوهم شهرا أو شهرين، وبعضهم درسوا هؤلاء المدرسين الطلاب 3 أشهر أو 4، وبعضهم درسوهم 5 أو 6. هؤلاء المدرسون الذين درسوا هؤلاء التلاميذ والطلاب يعرفونهم، يعرفون الطلاب، لكن الآن هل المدرس الذي درس الطلاب طوال العام يعرف هؤلاء التلاميذ أكثر، أم المدرس الذي درسهم شهرا أو شهرين أكثر؟ من الذي يعرف الطلاب والتلاميذ أكثر؟ لا شك أننا نقول كلما ازدادت مدة تدريس هذا المدرس للطلاب كلما ازداد معرفة بهم، من منهم الذكي، من منهم الغبي، من منهم المجتهد، من منهم الكسلان، من منهم الذي يذاكر، من منهم الذي يلعب. أما ذاك الذي درس شهرا أو شهرين فهو يعرف أيضا، لكنه ليست معرفته كمعرفة ذلك الآخر الذي درسهم طوال العام من أوله إلى آخره. عندما يقترب الاختبار في آخر السنة، اقترب الامتحان، فقيل لهؤلاء المدرسين كل واحد منكم يجلس وحده، وأعطوه قائمة بأسماء التلاميذ الذين في الفصل، قالوا له بحسب معرفتك بهؤلاء الطلاب قدر لهم تقديرات، قدر مجرد تقدير من منهم سينجح ومن منهم لن ينجح. أعطوه ورقة فيها أسماء التلاميذ وفيها تقديرات للنجاح وعدم النجاح، فبدأ كل مدرس يكتب الطالب الفلاني زيد ابن عبيد مثلا، يعرفون أنه ذكي، يعرفون أنه مجتهد، يكتبون أمامه ناجح. الآخر فلان ابن فلان، يعرفون أنه لعاب وأنه لا يهتم بالدراسة، يكتبون أمامه راسب. تقديرات، كل واحد منهم كتب تقديرات. ثم جاء وقت الامتحان، جاء وقت الامتحان وخرجت نتيجة هذا الامتحان، فإذا بهؤلاء الطلاب منهم من نجح ومنهم من لم ينجح، فنظروا في تقديرات المدرس
الذي درسهم شهرا أو شهرين فوجدوه في تقديراته أصاب بنسبة 25% و 75% ما أصاب فيها. وجدوا المدرس الذي درسهم 3 إلى 4 أشهر صوابه أكثر من المدرس الذي درسهم. التقديرات التي قدرها خرج نصفها صحيحا والنصف الآخر غير صحيح. فبعض الطلاب الذين قدرهم ناجحين كانوا راسبين، وبعض الطلاب الذين قدرهم راسبين كانوا ناجحين. المدرس الذي درس 5 أو 6 أشهر لأن علمه بالتلاميذ أكثر كانت تقديراته أقرب إلى الصواب. المدرس الذي درسهم طوال العام كانت معظم تقديراته صحيحة. فالذي توقع لهم النجاح، الذين توقع لهم النجاح كان معظمهم ناجحين، والذين توقع لهم الرسوب كان معظمهم راسبين كما توقع. الآن خرجت النتيجة على هذا النحو، ونحن فهمنا الآن أن هؤلاء المدرسين تفاوت علمهم بهؤلاء التلاميذ، وبناء على هذا التفاوت أصابت تقديراتهم أو أخطأت. فكلما ازداد علم المقدر بالمقدر له كلما كانت تقديراته أقرب إلى الصواب، وكلما كان علمه أقل بالمقدر له كانت تقديراته أبعد عن الصواب. طيب، هل من حق أحد التلاميذ أو آباء التلاميذ أن يأتي للمدرسين بعد الاختبار وبعد ظهور النتيجة وأن يقول لهم أنتم السبب في رسوب أولادنا، أنتم أجبرتموهم على الرسوب لأنكم قدرتموهم راسبين قبل أن يختبروا؟ يقولون لا لا، نحن بحسب علمنا قدرنا، ولكن نحن أيضا بشر، فإننا نعلم ونجهل ونصيب ونخطئ، لذلك بعض تقديراتنا جاءت صحيحة والبعض الآخر لم يأتي صحيحة. حتى ذاك المدرس الذي هو أعرف المدرسين بالطلاب لم يصب في جميع تقديراته لأنه بشر. أما رب العالمين سبحانه وله المثل الأعلى، فهل تقديراته قابلة للخطأ والصواب؟
لا.
هل تقديراته تقبل أن تكون صحيحة أو غير صحيحة؟ لا. الله إذا قدر شيئا يكون كما قدر لأنه يعلم كل شيء. فعدنا إلى العلم والقدر قرينان، فكلما ازداد العلم كلما كانت التقديرات أصوب، كلما قل العلم كلما كانت التقديرات أقل صوابا. إذا اكتمل العلم، وهذا لا يكون إلا في حق الله سبحانه، فكل ما يقدره من أحاط بكل شيء علما يجب أن يكون صوابا ويجب أن يكون صحيحا. وليس من حق أحد في هذه الحالة أن يعترض على الله، أنت قدرتني من أهل الجنة إذن أنت أجبرتني أن أكون من أهل الجنة، أنت قدرتني من أهل النار إذن أنت أجبرتني. لا، ليس في الأمر جبر، وإنما كما قلنا هو العلم. فالعلم والقدر قرينان، والتقدير المبني على العلم لا إجبار فيه ولا إكراه، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
Sheikh said, now what we're going to try to do is give you some examples so that this issue that we're referring to right now will hopefully become clearer. And one of the benefits that we use examples is so that you can get a better understanding concerning the reality of the topic that's being discussed. But in reality, you should understand that this whole issue of having faith in the qadr is a mas'ala that is musallama, meaning whether you understand it or you don't understand it, you have to believe in it. But I'm going to give you some examples right now, and the reason why I'm giving you these examples right now is so that your iman and your understanding could be increased. And do not allow your iman to be predicated and built upon the fact that you understand the example. You have to have iman already. But I'm going to give you these examples so that, inshallah, there will be an addition in clarification and elucidation as it relates to the issue that we're dealing with concerning the qadr, as it relates to the knowledge of Allah and the qadr are together. The example that the Shaykh presented is the example of a group of students. A group of students who were taught by a group of teachers. So you have a group of students and they were taught by a group of teachers. From the teachers, there was the teacher who taught there was a teacher who taught the students all year long, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. They're his students and he knows them from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. There's another teacher who taught the students for only 3 months. Another teacher who taught them 4 months. Another one taught them 5 months. Another one taught them 6 months. So you have these teachers teaching these kids, these students, and the amount of time in which they were teaching them, it differs. So the teachers who taught the students, they know all of the students. But obviously, the one who taught them for the longer duration, the whole year, he's going to know those students more than the one who taught them for half of a year. No doubt about that. The teacher who taught them all year long is going to know them and their abilities, for the most part, better than the one who taught them for 2 months, half the year, 3 months, or whatever. Now, all of the teachers, they know the students to some degree, to some degree. They know who is the one who is intelligent. They know who is the one who is a dumb student. They know the one who is mujtahid and he makes a lot of effort. They know the student who is lazy. They know the student who studies and he does his studying. They know the one who is given to playing all of the time. But obviously, ikhwan, the one who was with them longer, he's going to know the details for the most part and the characteristics for the most part of the students, due to the fact that he was the one who was with them the most. Now, as it relates to this scenario, the Sheikh said, now, the time of the test comes. The time of the test comes. So it is said to those teachers, one who taught the kids all year, one who taught them 1 month, another two, another taught them 3 months, another taught them four, another half of the year. It was said to each teacher, now, before the imtihan, before the test, each one of you teachers, each one of you, give an estimation. Make the taqdeer. Tell me, write down, who do you think is going to pass and who do you think is going to fail? Every teacher was responsible for doing that before the kids took the test. So, a paper was given to all of the teachers. The one who taught them for a whole year, one who taught them 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, a paper was given to each student. On the paper was written the name of each student, and on the paper was written the grade that the teacher thinks the student is going to get. So each student began to write, each teacher began to write his approximation. What did he think was going to happen, based upon his experience and his knowledge with the kid? So the teacher wrote, Zayd ibn Ubayd. He is one who used to do well, so he's going to pass. And then the next child, his name, and he's put, oh, he used to play around. He's going to fail. The next one, so-and-so, he was mujtahid. He had a lot of, he's going to pass. So each teacher wrote that before the imtihan, before the test was even given to the kid. All of the teachers wrote that. Now, when the time of the test came, and it was time for the students to sit down to take the test, they came, they took the test, and then the results came out. Who passed, who failed. When they looked at and they compared the actual test that was taken by the students, and also the approximation that the teachers gave to the students, they found that the teacher who taught them for a half a year, for an example, the one who taught them for half a year, he got, his approximation was For an example, 25% out of 75, he got right. 75% out of 25, he got that right. About the way he got it, the way he made his estimation, it came out like that. The one who taught them for only 3 months, it was less than that. The one who taught less, it was less than that. The one who taught them the most, they found that his approximation was most correct. The Sheikh said, now, keep in mind, with all of the teachers, there were certain teachers who said, so-and-so is going to fail, but he passed. So-and-so is going to pass, but he fell. But for the most part, the teacher who taught them all year long, he got more right than he got wrong. So it was comparable to the amount of time to how the teacher who knew those students and was with those students. The one who knew him more, he was in a position to make approximation that was closer to it. And the one who taught him less, he was in less of a position. So from all of this, what is the point? We understand that all of those teachers who are human beings, all of those teachers, they are different levels in their knowledge as it relates to the abilities of the kid. Some of them got it right, some of them got it wrong. Some people they thought were going to do good didn't do good. Some people they thought weren't going to pass, they did pass. But again, as we said, the one who knew them the most, he got more right than he got wrong. The one who knew them the less, he wasn't comparable to the one who knew them the most. The Sheikh, he said, now the question, and this is what all of this was mentioned for as an example. The question is, after the results of the test come out, and the fathers come, the responsible people for the kids who failed, is it acceptable, is it the haq, for the father of a child who failed to come to say to the teacher who, when he approximated, he said, so-and-so is going to fail. And he really failed. The teacher who knew him all year long, based upon him playing all the time, being lazy, he knew he was going to fail. So he said, I think he's going to fail. He really fell. He made the taqdeer. Is it acceptable for the father now to come and he say, you teachers who made this approximation, you are the ones who made my child fail because you made the approximation. You made the taqdeer. It was your fault that this happened. Sheikh said, of course, this is not the fault of those teachers. If teachers made the taqdeer based upon what they knew about those particular students. The teachers, they are human beings. So as it relates to the human beings, they're going to, when they make the taqdeer, the approximation, they're going to get it right and they're going to get it wrong. They're going to get it right and they're going to get it wrong. As it relates to Allah Ta'ala, when He makes the taqdeer, when Allah decrees, so-and-so is going to be a believer, so-and-so is going to be a disbeliever, so-and-so is going to be in the hellfire, so-and-so. Allah's taqdeer is not open, nor does it accept any mistake. What He makes the taqdeer of, it is going to happen. Based upon His knowledge, like the teacher had knowledge of those students, based upon the knowledge that Allah has about the people, it is decreed where they're going to be and what they're going to do. And that's not oppressive. People can't come and say Allah oppressed anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's taqdeer concerning anything, it is going to happen. Why? Because the knowledge of Allah, unlike the teacher has some knowledge, but he doesn't have all of the knowledge of those kids, even if he taught them all year. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has all of the knowledge, 100, all of the knowledge, and therefore this goes to show us the importance again of the knowledge of Allah and the Qadr. He has knowledge of everything, and as a result of that, He can make the taqdeer, He can make the divine determination as to what's going to happen even before it happens. So knowledge and the Qadr are always together.
في هذه الأيام بعض الناس لما رأى الأحداث الجارية وما يحصل من الظلم والشر والقتل والنهب والسلب وهتك الأعراض قال بعضهم هل هذا الذي يحصل هو بقدر الله؟ هل ربنا يريد ذلك؟ ثم أجاب على نفسه إجابة صحيحة، قال هو سبحانه أذن في هذا لحكمة يريدها. وهذا شيء طيب، كونه أجاب على نفسه بهذه الإجابة يدل على أنه مؤمن بالقدر، وأن وراء الأقدار حكما لله سبحانه لا يعلمها إلا الله. الله هو الذي يقدر الخير والشر، لا شك، الله هو الذي يقدر الخير وهو الذي يقدر الشر. وإن كان فعل الله سبحانه لا شر فيه، يقول قال كيف هذا، كيف هذا الكلام؟ القدر فيه خير وفيه شر، لكن الخير بالنسبة لمن والشر بالنسبة لمن؟ ما الجواب؟ الجواب الخير بالنسبة للمقدر له، والشر بالنسبة للمقدر له. أما المقدر فلا شر في فعله. لذلك في الحديث الصحيح الذي ثبت عن نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يقول لله سبحانه والشر ليس إليك، لا يجوز أن ننسب إلى الله أنه شرير سبحانه وتعالى. الله ليس شريرا، الله عز وجل لا يفعل شرا، أفعاله